Hi, this is a excerpt from a Patreon episode. And if you want to watch the whole thing, join the Patreon, patreon.com/downside. You can watch this whole thing or listen to this whole thing, as well as all our old past Patreon exclusive episodes and all our past live episodes. patreon.com/downside. Enjoy the excerpt.
I mean, all my grandparents are dead. When was the last one die? I mean, it was my step-grandfather
I'm
died.
Sorry that I was smiling right as you turned around and said that. I was smiling from the thing before.
You're like,
not
me.
If you're on the live stream, you could screen grab that and have me be like, atheist smiles at dead grandparents.
For me, it was dad's dad never met, died before I was born.
Yeah, me too.
Mom's dad died, I think, like lung cancer. He's an intense smoker. My dad's mom, my mom's mom, and then I had a step-grandfather because my dad's dad left, and then he died during COVID era.
Okay, now let's everyone we know who's died. We'll go around the room.
Do you have any grandparents left?
No, not for a long time.
Do you have grandparents left?
Yeah.
Okay.
About half.
About
sorry,
half?
I also don't remember 9/11, so.
Oh!
I guess that's just how. Wait, can we curse?
What are you talking about?
It's TikTok.
Look at this goody two shoes. This doesn't make sense. You're goody two shoes. Of course you can fucking curse on the comedy podcast.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna say, well,
oh
I don't
my
have
god,
I don't remember 9/11 because that's how
this.
Tight my pussy is. I just. So yeah, I had a lot of grandparents.
You can't say pussy
really
though.
Know.
That's where we draw the line. Yeah. You're 25.
Yeah.
So 9/11, quick.
I was like two. I was born in 98.
98, yeah.
Yes. Oh, God.
What was the oh my God just said about youth? Yeah, okay.
1998. Yeah. You were born in 1998.
There's something about 1998. It's about like, oh, you were born. If you were born after 2000, that's where it's really.
That is even weird to me, where I'm like, what do you, what?
1998. Wow.
What wow. What a mundane commentary.
Wow.
Wow, a different time than me.
I remember.
And the number was different by one.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
We still have two more years before Y2K. That was a big deal. I was in middle school. Oh,
yeah.
My God, wow.
10 years for me. What is it for you? What year were you born?
Yeah.
86?
85.
85.
Oh, wow. I've never revealed this on the podcast.
Yes. So yeah, 9/11. Well, let me tell you about it. It was I was in history class.
Me too.
Every class was history class that day, brother.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you in a second because I want you to tell a 9/11 thing that you wouldn't tell,
yeah.
But you can tell now.
Yeah.
So I'll just say that. When it happened, it was fifth grade or sixth grade or something like that, but I didn't understand the world enough to know. I thought bad things happened all the time. So I thought this was just a bad thing. I don't think I realized at that age, mm-hmm. like what a domestic terrorist attack meant.
Yeah.
It's so funny. When did you stop believing in God? When did your idea of the American project kind of crumble?
See,
when did you realize this was imperialism wasn't the exception, it was actually the rule to this country?
See, but I agree in the way
I'm sorry, you were like fucking 3 years old being like Pocahontas actually wasn't a nice tale.
I remember being, I had to go to football practice that day, and I remember thinking, what would have to happen for football practice to be canceled? Like what? Like what is going on? Why are we here? I remember thinking, like, I guess we want to win the game, but like, come on now.
You
like,
had a game?
No, I had a practice though. It was a Tuesday, and we had a Friday night game or whatever.
Did you end up doing that game?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. A conservative coach being like, if you don't get CTE, the terrorists win.
Yeah. But I remember being like, why are we running right now? Like it was just very like, why are we doing this today?
So I just remember. I realized how serious it was when I got home and my stepdad, who was like a workaholic, he had come home and he was watching the news just like this. And that's when I knew. And then the next day they held school and they acted like it was like most schools canceled, but they were like, we decided actually we should come together. And as a kid, you're like, come on, can
no.
we get a, we can't get snow days or 9/11
yeah.
days, give me a break.
Yeah.
And I remember there was an even younger kid I mean, like, because it was the school was kindergarten through eighth, and it was just like some like little kid, and he had two toy planes for some reason. He was like making jokes with his friend, like meow meow meow, and I went up. And this is me being, I was a little bit of a teacher's pet too, where I went up and I said, that is not funny. And if only I knew that, like, in my 30s, I'd be making 9/11 jokes nonstop on stage for people. What a hypocrite.
Oh my God.
So you've always told me this thing. When we first started the podcast, Russell was like, I don't want to, you know, share anything funny. And now you've opened up. Tell us.
No, okay. So there's someone that I, you know, I don't go on as much, but sometimes you go onto Facebook and you see, you know, people from your past. And there's a person every 9/11, she shares the same memory. Okay, and it's this memory. She talks about where she was that day, and it's just like a classroom in upstate New York. And she goes, and I'll never forget that my history teacher is on the phone because his daughter lives in New York, and she works in the World Trade Center, and so he was desperate trying to figure out if she was still alive, and you know, and so she shares this memory every year. Okay, and so one year someone says, "What happened to his daughter?" And she says, "I don't really know, but I just remember that." And you're like, "Why are you sharing this story? Like, this is not a story; it's a non-story. Just." Message the teacher, he's probably still alive, be like, did your daughter die in 9/11? like you, that can't be a meaningful story that you share every year, and you have not thought to like look into the ending of the story.
It's if you love the movie Inception, you told everyone you got to see Inception, and you're like, how does it end? And they're like, oh, I always cut off before the last 3 minutes. But you got it. It was just crazy how invested I was, and I was like, was it or was it not?
Yeah, it's wow.
And you were just
three.
Just three.
So you were a teacher's pet, good grades.
Until like senior year of high school.
Cause you started stand up.
I got a C. No, I started stand up, and I kind of was like, I'm gonna drop out of high school. I'm gonna move to New York. Insane idea. I'm very glad I didn't do that. But the grades did fall off a little bit.
How does a goody two-shoes person get into stand-up? I mean, a field that, like, the trajectory is not, you know, there's so many school things you could do, so many clubs that help for college. Why stand-up?
It wasn't really on purpose, but I was a big theater kid, and then there was, like, an open mic down the street, like, in the main street of where I grew up, and I was like, oh, let me just, like, try it for fun. And then I met some other comics there who were like, oh, this is a whole thing. You can go out 7 nights a week. You can do it. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I started doing it like 7 nights a week. And then
right at the gate, seven nights a week in school.
And then 3 months into doing it 7 nights a week, you look up and you're like, oh, I guess I do this now. And then I just kind of kept going. But one of the guys I met, now we live together and we have a podcast. Like the guy I met open mic, we now live together.
Wow.
And so it's like, it kind of just stuck.
How old was he when you met him? Because you were 16.
I was 16. He was 18. He was like one of the other only like young kids there. Everyone else was like a divorced dad in their 40s.
She was like,
and we were like,
65.
God, we understand each other. Yeah, he's 60.
He was 65.
And now we live together in his hospice unit.
he just really liked me as a 16-year-old. Yeah, took an interest.
It would be hard. I mean, I haven't done a real true open mic in a while. But if I was doing open mics and there was a 16-year-old there, yeah, I wouldn't be mean. But I wouldn't be like, hey.
People were weirdly nice about it.
There was a guy who was at Caroline's Comedy Club for a little bit. First of all, I wouldn't be mean, just so you know. I just got to keep my persona for the pod. No, but it would be weird. It would just be unusual. I'd be more uncomfortable about what I could talk about on stage.
Well,
if there
was being filthy, so I think I burst that right off the...
And were they laughing or were they like, Jesus Christ?
I think there was a little bit of like laughing because it was like, that's... crazy that you said that a little bit.
How, like, what kind of filth?
Sexual, dark. I'm trying to think of like an early joke that, okay, like one of the first jokes I have was about how like the kids on leashes, like, you know, people, those parents that have their kids on leashes. I forget how I tied it together, but something about like them being like anti-vax. Oh, I remember what it was. It was like, oh, all these like anti-vaxxers. This is pre-COVID, obviously. All these anti-vaxxers are like super liberal, granola, whatever. Just tell them that the vaccine has gluten in it. Or that it's something about gluten to get them to something about dragging a dead kid on one of those leashes through an airport. And to me, that was so funny. But I think it kind of blew the lid off any of them being like, we must protect her innocence. They were like, Jesus Christ, man. It was a lot of that. I've actually kind of toned down a little bit.
That's funny. Come over, they're like, hey, I don't think you can say that. That's really fucked up.
It's like offensive to who? Kids? I'm a kid. Like, it was, yeah.
That's honestly what probably get the anti-vaxxers these days is to remind them, like, the real anti-vaxxers, they're really liberal cucks. They're granola crunching. Yeah. It is true. There was a real swap. Why do you think, how did you have that dark, like, did you always have a dark sense of humor? Yeah.
Yeah, but then I think because of the teacher's pet thing, it's like, I would never do this in a situation where it was like inappropriate or would hurt someone or blah, blah, blah. But then when there's this environment where it's like welcome and even celebrated to do it, it's like, this is so much fun. I love doing this, mm-hmm. you know?
Your mom, who was driving you to these?
Yeah, my mom would drive me to open mics because I didn't have my driver's license yet.
Did she know?
Did she stay and watch?
Yes, actually one time. Okay, no, she's so cool. They've seen like all of it. And they're just like, they were like, my little angel's doing her, you know, dead kid. They're so sweet. But I remember one time my mom drove me to this open mic. This is a horrible open mic, like 45 minutes away from our house on a school night. And
that is great. That's a good mom. That is a good mom.
It's a bar that had like slot machines in it. And then it had like three different clocks on the wall that was like Tokyo, Paris, London. And I was like, no one here is doing like world trading. Like nobody needed to know this. But they were like, we're internet, like as if these slot machines are like the stock market. It's like, okay. It was all comics, all like five people. And my mom was the only audience member there other than the bartender. And she was like, I'm just going to bring my laptop and sit in the back and work. And of course,
she's
first...
She's like, what time is it in Japan? Good. Wow, I had no idea they'd have that here.
The only person who could actually use it, she has a real job. And then the first comic was like, who's this lady in the back? You're pretty hot. And I was like, oh, my poor mom is getting hit on while she's trying to like... So she's really... she's been through the... My mom has paid her dues. My mom is probably the most... paid her dues more than any other non-comic who goes to open mics and then doesn't even get on like a bar show, you know?
What did you ever run a joke by her? Did she ever have any feedback? Or was she just like, you go do your thing. I know you'll figure it out.
She would like give me feedback or she would like, it's so cute. I have no interesting origin story because my parents are like, oh, I liked the toothpick joke. You know what I mean? Like they... No stuff or they'll...
Were you stabbing a baby in the eye with a toothpick to teach a lesson to global warming denialists?
No, I have a joke about that. My dad, this is true, my dad is on the spectrum, and I have a joke. This is a real thing that he did. I had, like, spilled toothpicks in the kitchen on accident, and he came in and was like, 42. And I was like, what? He's like, no, I'm fucking with you. I don't know. Which is, like, so funny. And so I do it on stage, and my dad will call me and be like, how'd my toothpick joke do? Like, he loves that he wrote a joke. Like, they're adorable. They're,
that's
like,
so
all about
sweet.
It. Yeah.
My girlfriend's dad is on the spectrum, me, and he sends jokes ideas that are they're pretty tough to say. they have a real conservative bent to all of them. It's
conservative and autistic is a fascinating combination.
Does autistics lend itself to liberalism in general?
No, I don't think so. I don't know why I said that. Immediately,
please.
I regretted it. But I was just
you have the most authority right now. You could spread a lot of disinformation right now.
No, that's just a funny thing because I'm just thinking about how like a lot of people like on the spectrum tend to have like a special interest. It's funny if your special interest is like Reaganomics. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like that's just like funny to me that would be like your trains. You know.
Sure. But actually, I was actually going to bring it up in the last podcast, but Tova's dad, Tova will post about it. It's her dad's name is Frank. And goes like, just Frank's update. So whenever it's like something happens exciting, Frank will write about it on Facebook, but with no, the same way that ChatGPT would, this is a good thing or this is a bad thing.
Just like
so
reporting.
every post, like oldest daughter's boyfriend will be on TV late tonight. And not an exclamation point.
Not an exclamation.
Semicolon.
Just like
semicolon.
Here are the facts.
Oh, here's this a great one. For our anniversary, we visited two of our daughters in NYC, period. Here we're about to see a show on Broadway, period. The guy on the right is oldest daughter's boyfriend, comma, a stand-up comedian, period. Parentheses. He did a stand-up comedy set on James Corden's show last fall, period.
That's incredible.
neither that is good incredible. Nor bad. Funny. Just the facts, Frank. Just,
yeah.
And he it's very endearing.
Just the facts, Frank.
That she calls it just the facts. That's all he reports on. Has your dad been tested?
I mean, no, but you know.
Yeah. Clearly he has a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, he will be like, I think he got into his adult life and then heard about it and was like, oh, that's what it's called. Like, I think it was more,
sure.
I don't want to put words in his mouth. So I don't know if he ever got formally tested, but I think it was one of those, like, when he was a kid, they were like, just stop counting.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
But it's one of those, it is so, because my stepdad, we always casually say, everyone in the family, oh, he's on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And my mom says it, like, in a way where, like, she's not talking about anything positive or neutral. It's always like, he didn't pay child support this week. He's on the spectrum. And I'm like, that's not related.
A spectrum thing.
He counted what he owed and then said, I'm paying zero of it. But it's always like in that realm. It's never like, oh, it was nice that he knew what time the train would be here. He's on the spectrum. It's always bad.
You're listening to The Downside.
The Downside.
With Gianmarco Cerezi.